changes the way we see Jesus. We can see him clearly. By meeting Jesus in person, by seeing Jesus clearly, these disciples had a definite knowledge and understanding of who Jesus is. Let us now go into the second point. Know Jesus definitely. You probably have heard people say, well, it doesn't matter which God or religion you would believe in. All the gods are the same. Only the names are different. From the Gospel of John, you will soon find that it does matter which God you believe in. The Gospel of John chapter 1 speaks of the seven titles or names of Jesus. The Gospel of John chapter 1 is going to help us to identify and know Jesus. If your friend asks you about the God you believe in, can you answer him or her? If you say you believe in Jesus, are you able to tell who Jesus is? To proclaim the gospel, we have to know who Jesus is. Because the gospel is about Jesus, and the gospel is Jesus, John, the writer of the Gospel of John, wastes no time in identifying who Jesus is. In the first chapter, within a succession of a few days, John shows a gradual recognition of who Jesus is. If you look carefully, you will see the seven names or titles of Jesus in chapter 1. These titles or names identify to us that Jesus is the God whom we to believe. And furthermore, Jesus is the only one to whom we can put our trust in. I hope you have your Bible with you. If you do, circle these names or titles of Jesus. Put a number beside each one of them, like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, seven of them for future references, and the seven titles or names of Jesus. So the first title, Jesus is the Word, on verse 1. From John's own view of Jesus, John writes, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In these three verses of chapter 1, John tells us that Jesus exists before creation. Nothing went back further than God. Anne Graham Lotz, one of the daughters of the famous evangelist Billy Graham, had an interesting observation. She asked, who was the eyewitness of creation? The answer is God himself. By reading John 1:1-3, we see that God, who created the heavens and the earth, has the Word with him, who was the eyewitness of creation. These three verses also tell us that Jesus is not a created being. We have to be careful about others saying, even our neighbor church, the Jehovah's Witness. Jesus is not a created being. He was with God to create everything. So this Jesus, the Word, is a divine being. However, this Jesus, the Word, became flesh, came into the world and became one of a humankind for the purpose of revealing God and communicating with his people. You can find that in verse 1, 14, and 18. Knowing Jesus is the Word of God is very important. This is a unique name or title John has used to identify Jesus. Jesus is the eternal God. He is both perfectly divine and perfectly human, except he has no sin. The second title, Jesus is the Light, verses 4 to 5 and 9. John continues to say, in him was life, and the light was the light of men. Here the light may not seem an obvious name or title of Jesus, but if looked closely, we could see that John was indeed pointing out the uniqueness of Jesus and being as being called the light, the true light. In verse 9, he added, light is essential for life. No light, no life. Jesus is the light. Opposite to light is darkness. The light comes to shine in the darkness, but unfortunately, there are those who reject the light and trapped in darkness. The Gospel of John tells us, for all those who accept the light will become children of God and have eternal light, eternal life. The third title, Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, verses 29 to 30 and 36. The people of Israel were familiar with the lambs for sacrifices. From Genesis to Revelation, in the Bible, to sacrifice a lamb is to atone for sin. In the story of God and Abraham, God asked Abraham to sacrifice his son, Isaac, to God. The question, where is the lamb, has always been there, waiting to be answered. Here John the Baptist proclaimed, behold, the Lamb of God takes away the sin of the world. What John the Baptist is saying is, here he is. The Lamb of God is finally here. He is the one, the only one who can take away the sin of the world. Jesus, the Lamb of God, will not only take away the sin of the people of Israel, but also the sin of the world. Jesus is the only Lamb of God who can bring salvation to mankind. The only way the world can be saved is through the shed blood of the Lamb. Jesus is that perfect Lamb, the one without blemish, as is prescribed in Leviticus 22. When Jesus died on the cross, he fulfilled his mission as the Passover Lamb, the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world, 1 John 2:2. So again, the Lamb is a unique name or title of Jesus. No other God or person is known to have accomplished the task of taking away the sins of the world. The fourth title, the Son of God. John the Baptist said, I have borne witness that this is the Son of God. Verse 34. The designation of the Son of God speaks of Jesus as the one who comes from above, and he is above all. He is sent by God to speak the words of God. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. John 3:31 to 36. The fifth title, Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ. Messiah means the anointed one. Greek equivalent is the Christ, the ultimate savior of the world. To the Jews, it was the same as the Son of God. You can see Matthew 26, 63 to 64, Mark 14, 61 to 62, Luke 22, 67 to 70. No wonder when Andrew told his brother Simon, we have found the Messiah. Simon right away went with him to see Jesus. And when the Jews spoke about the Messiah, they were thinking of the king who would come to deliver them and establish the kingdom. Jesus is the promised Messiah whom they have been waiting for. The sixth title, the King of Israel. Nathanael, when he came face to face with Jesus, he learned that Jesus was more than what he had expected. He confessed that Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is the King of Israel. This title was fulfilled on the king, on Jesus' trial before Pilate. Pilate asked Jesus, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus testified that he is the king of the Jews. Pilate mockingly crowned and hailed Jesus the king of the Jews. And he wrote the inscription, "King of the Jews," in Aramaic, in Latin, and in Greek, and put it on the cross for everyone to see. John chapter 18 to 19. The seventh title, the Son of Man. Jesus called himself the Son of Man. This is one of Jesus' favorite titles for himself. It's used 83 times in the Gospel and at least 13 times in John. The title speaks of both the deity and humanity of Jesus. The vision in Daniel 7:13 presents the Son of Man in a definite messianic setting. And Jesus used the title in the same way. Matthew 26:64. Jesus at the end of chapter 1 declares that he is the way to go to heaven. Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." All the individuals, the disciples we read today, they have heard of Jesus, learned about Jesus for a long time. And when they met Jesus in person, they were able to recognize him and able to proclaim who he is accordingly. On the contrary, if they have not wanted to know Jesus and were not already seeking him, they won't recognize Jesus, even if Jesus were right before their eyes. Just like many who in Jesus' time missed recognizing Jesus as the Messiah. Before we meet Jesus in person, we have to get to know him. We have to study about him. When we proclaim the gospel, we must have the confidence that Jesus is the true God. Knowing the seven names or title of Jesus give us a clear vision of who Jesus is. I also believe that we will meet Jesus in person whenever we proclaim his name. Do you believe that? And you must try then. Proclaim his name. Point number 3. Follow Jesus closely. After hearing John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God," two of his own disciples left him and followed Jesus. At first, they followed Jesus in the distance. But Jesus noticed them and asked them, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi, where are you staying?" Jesus said, "Come and you will see." So they came and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day. No one really knew what kind of place Jesus had, but in Luke, Jesus said, "Foxes have holes and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." So what kind of place Jesus stayed in? I wonder. Perhaps Jesus never had a permanent resident. Could it be that Jesus stayed with whoever opened their doors and welcomed him in? I was very touched that at our Christmas celebrations, many had indicated the willingness to open their hearts to let Jesus to come in. You can see those hearts that is on the big red hearts. That reminds us, we have opened our hearts to welcome Jesus in. You can take your hearts back that belongs to you and place it where you can see as a reminder that Jesus is in your heart. Okay, at the end of the service, if you have a heart that you have posted on the big red heart, take it with you and put it in your Bible or put it on the fridge and put it right before your computer. It will help reminding you. Once you have met Jesus and certain of who Jesus is, the next natural step is to follow Jesus. Follow him like Andrew, Peter, John, Philip, and Nathaniel would follow. Follow Jesus closely. Check out where he stays and perhaps stay with him. Bring others to Jesus promptly. My last point of today's message is to bring others to Jesus promptly. John has shown us in his narrative that Jesus is the Word, the light, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the man, of the world, the Son of God, the Messiah, the King of Israel, and the Son of Man. Jesus is the eternal God for anyone to believe, to have forgiveness of sin, to trust, to follow, and to have eternal life. But we must know that we are not only to follow him ourselves, but also to bring others to follow him. Andrew, one of the disciples of John the Baptist, when he turned to Jesus and became his disciple, Andrew became Jesus' disciple for the rest of his life. Right after Andrew met Jesus, the first thing he did was to bring his brother Simon to Jesus. Whenever Andrew is mentioned in John's gospel, you will find the gospel speaks of Andrew bringing another person to Jesus. He brought Simon to Jesus. He brought the boy who had only five loaves and two fish to Jesus to feed the 5,000. And he also brought the Greeks who want to see Jesus. No sermons from Andrew are recorded in the Gospel of John, but Andrew certainly preached great sermons by his actions as a personal soul winner. We also see Philip brought his friend Nathanael to Jesus. After Jesus called Philip to follow him, Philip found Nathanael and told him about Jesus. Nathanael did not think much about Jesus, and with a sarcastic tone, he replied, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Could it be also true if we tell people in Richmond Hill or Markham that we come from Brampton, what kind of reaction we'll get? Do we get the same response? What good come out of Brampton? Thankfully, Philip did not give up. He was determined. And he asked Nathanael to come and see with his own eyes. I hope that in your 2020 vision, you will be prompt in bringing others to Jesus. I love this picture. You see all these eyes, so bright. They need to see Jesus. So, in conclusion, would you like to have a 2020 vision this year? Let's be silent for a moment. Close your eyes, but try to visualize the responses that John the Apostle, John the Baptist, Andrew, Peter, Philip, and Nathanael had on the day they saw and met Jesus. They recognized Jesus as the eternal God, the Word, the Light, the Lamb of God, the Son of God, the Messiah, the King of Israel, the Son of Man. Would you say, yes, I would like to have this 2020 vision of seeing Jesus clearly, knowing Jesus definitely, following Jesus closely, and bringing others to Jesus promptly? If you do, would you stand and receive the blessing of having this 2020 vision from God? Let me pray for you. Dear God, bless your people with the 2020 vision. Let each one of us see Jesus clearly, know Jesus definitely, follow Jesus closely, and bring others to Jesus promptly. Thank you in Jesus' name. Open your eyes now. Let us proclaim together this truth together. Together we say, Jesus is the Word, the light, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, the Son of God, the Messiah, the Christ, the King of Israel, the Son of Man. My 2020 vision is to see Jesus clearly, know Jesus definitely, and follow Jesus closely, and bring others to Jesus promptly. Now, let's go one step further. Find someone and proclaim this truth to that person. The words are in the screen. Find someone, though. You proclaim it to someone. And tell the person who Jesus is. Take this truth to your hearts. Proclaim this truth wherever you go, to yourself, to others, to your family, to your friends, to a stranger, and even to a place, to a space. Every week when I come to work at this church, I go to the children's room. Each classroom, I proclaim the Word of God in there. Even to the space. I trust that the more we proclaim this truth, the more we will see Jesus clearly. The more we will know him, the more we will follow him closely. And the more promptly we will bring others to him. Should they be seated or stand? Let's stand and sing.